Well, I'm coming to you today from Christchurch Park, which is looking glorious in the autumn colours. I'm going to begin the service this morning reading from Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name for ever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your mercies to us through another week. Lord, we ask that you will get the praise and the honour and the glory to your name as we worship you this morning. We pray for our friend Graham Ross as he speaks to us today, that Lord, you will speak afresh from your word. And we pray now for the musicians as they lead us, Lord, in worship of you. Lord, just use today in our hearts, in our lives, that we may be more like you, that we may be more willing to share what we have found in you, that in you we will find comfort and strength for each day. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to go over now to the musicians as they lead us in worship.
Our opening song this morning has been chosen because of reference Graham Ross makes in his sermon today. But I know that it happens to be one of Ian's favourites, as well as being popular with others in the fellowship. And so we sing, with confidence and assurance, in praise and worship, to to exalt our God, who is both the Lion and the Lamb, that one day every knee will bow before him. There may be scars and struggles along the way in our life, but when we have a moment to look back, we see that God has always been with us, every step of the way. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own, Lord Jesus. You are faithful. God, you are faithful. And we worship you now with thanks and love.
I just want to lead us now in some prayers for our church. Father God, we come to you for the church at Stoke Green. Father, we miss meeting one another face to face. We long for that day when we can do this safely. And Lord, we pray that you will grant wisdom to the leadership of the church. As we contemplate when and if is the right time to reopen. Lord, we pray for the members' meeting coming up in November, that you will help us and guide us in that, and that we will know your blessing. Lord, I pray for Daniel in his work with the young people and the children online. Again, Lord, we love to be able to do something physically in the flesh with the children, but Lord, that just isn't possible just now. So Lord, we ask for your intervention to make these things possible. We know that that means a vaccine or you taking away this horrible disease just as quickly as it's come. And we believe that you can do that. Lord, we just pray for those who are struggling in the fellowship just now, those who are facing illness. Lord, you know them, each one. Perhaps we can't name them personally on a public site like this, but we know that people are facing operations and treatment. We pray for those recently bereaved, that you will continue to help and to comfort them. Father, we pray for those with anxiety about their employment. Maybe there are some who just don't have enough work or are out of work. There's some just wondering how long their job will continue or when they might be able to go back after furlough. And then, Lord, we pray for those who are in work. We pray for those who find themselves in a situation where they are vulnerable to the virus, for those that work in hospitals or in schools or in other public places, for those who have to go in and work in an environment, Lord, where there may be many people around them. Lord, we thank you for your hand of protection in so many ways on us as a fellowship, but we don't take that for granted. And so, Lord, we just ask that you will continue to preserve us. Father, we're conscious that where we are in the nation, there are relatively few cases compared to many parts of the country. But we do pray for those areas that are under much stricter restrictions, as it were. And Lord, we pray for our politicians and leaders as they try to plot the right course through these unprecedented times. Lord, just individually we pray that we might look to you each day, that we'd be faithful in reading your word and in seeking to witness to you with those that we come into contact with. Lord, we just commend ourselves to you once again now, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our preacher this morning is Graham Ross. Graham is one of the regional ministers for the Eastern Baptist Association, and he's been booked for a long time to come to speak to us at Stoke Green. Obviously, we're not able to physically meet together, but we're very glad that Graham has agreed to speak to us online. I've known Graham for quite a number of years. When I first came to Suffolk in 2006, I used to meet with Graham at a minister's fraternal. And actually, Graham was the minister in the Baptist Church in Bilderston, which was just a few miles from Battersford, where I was in ministry. Graham went on to have a ministry in a church near Colchester, and before I moved to Stoke Green. So it's really good to have Graham with us. He's actually going to speak on Jesus calming the storm again in Mark chapter 4, from verse 35. It isn't so very long ago that I actually spoke on this passage. So whilst, yes, in some ways it will be similar, it'll also be very interesting to see what angle Graham takes, because that's the nature, isn't it, of God's word, is that one person sees one thing from the passage and somebody else gleans some other truth from it. So we're looking forward to what Graham has to say.
Hi, my name's Graham. I'm one of the regional ministers for the Eastern Baptist Association, and I wanted to share a few thoughts with you on the video here. These thoughts were put together about 2 years ago when I took on this role as a regional minister. In the EBA, there's a tradition that the regional minister preaches at their own induction service. As I prayed and said to God, "God, what is it that you're saying to the churches in this area?" These are the thoughts that came to my mind, and I hope that you're as blessed, encouraged and challenged by them as I am. I wanted to read to you from Mark chapter 4. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. Soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." So let me ask you a question. If Jesus was to walk into the room, wherever you're viewing this or wherever you are, and say, "I've booked a boat and I want you to come on a boat trip with me," how would you feel? Your instinct might say, "Oh, really excited. That'd be great. Can't wait." If we take the Bible seriously, though, should we not have a moment of pause, a moment of hesitation? In the New Testament, when Jesus gets in a boat, there was often a storm. If Jesus came to me now and said, "We're going on a boat trip," I would follow him. He's my Lord. But I'd be nervous about it. I'd be concerned. I wouldn't be sure. I wonder if the disciples, though, this was a really exciting moment. As Jesus says, "Let's go in a boat." And the disciples shifted from being confused and not knowing what was going on, seeing this Jesus who was just so far beyond their comprehension. They shift out of this moment of following and trying to keep up into a "boats, boats, we know boats, we do boats." Later in the story, where's Jesus? He's in the back of the boat. Why is he in the back of the boat? Well, that's probably where they put him. The dynamic changed. Jesus ceased being their Lord and their rabbi in that moment, and they started being his carers as they look after him. They put him in the corner of the boat. And if you remember nothing else from this sermon, just remember this. No one should put Jesus in the corner. Is that what we do, though? Do we travel through life with Jesus leading, with us focused on him? Or are we living our lives at this time as individuals or as churches? Are we living our lives with the sense of Jesus is in the corner and we can wheel him out when we need him? This story changes dramatically when the disciples cry out to Jesus, and we'll come back to that in a moment. One of the things that's quite disturbing about this story, this piece of scripture, is that Jesus leads his disciples into a storm. I don't know if that really fits with your view of Jesus. Perhaps you have this view of Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Jesus is my pal. Jesus is here to look after me. And don't misunderstand me. God, Jesus, loves us immensely. But there are times when he leads us into storms. And we just need to accept that that's an absolute reality. If you're in a storm right now, if you're struggling, if life is really difficult, don't assume you've done something wrong. Don't think that God is punishing you. That's just life. You see, Jesus' priority is not the personal care and comfort of Graham Ross at all costs. Jesus' priority is to save this world. And while he loves me and he wants to care for me and he loves you and wants to care for you, there are times when we go through difficult times because his agenda and our agenda, if we're following him, should be to work towards his mission of saving humanity from eternity without him. So, back in the boat, in the storm, the disciples do what we all do. They ignore Jesus in the corner, or they try and fix the problem by themselves. And the disciples reach the point where they're absolutely overwhelmed. But Jesus is asleep. I can sleep in all kinds of places. I'm good at sleeping. It's my gift, you might say. But how does Jesus sleep in a storm? Come back to that in a moment. But before then, just take a look at these pictures on the screen. And ask yourself, in which of these pictures is peace found? I look at these pictures and the one at the top right brings such a happy memory. That's my daughter and I at the top of the Rest and Be Thankful, which is just to the west of Loch Lomond in Scotland. The thing I was the most thankful for was that we'd driven and not walked to the top. As I think of the child sleeping or with my feet up by the fire, it just looks absolutely lovely. And I look at the pictures at the bottom and I see the child crying. I feel that pain. I see the person shouting. None of us like being shouted at. And then I see the picture that probably disturbs us the most at this time, the person coughing. I've had a dry throat for a number of months. And one of the things that was quite difficult for me when we were all out and about was I would be, say, walking down the street and I would clear my throat. And you see people jumping back and turning around and looking and thinking, oh no, we're going to catch something. That's the picture that perhaps triggers the biggest sense of disturbance or stress in us at this time. And I've done a very manipulative thing where I've put the pictures that have peace naturally found in them at the top and the pictures where stress is naturally found at the bottom. Is that the answer? Is that what we're doomed to? Well, let me read what the Bible says. The Bible says, do not worry. This is Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. Do not worry about anything. That's really hard, isn't it? Do you find it frustrating when people say to you, do not worry? Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Many of us are worried at the moment. Worry is very natural. In that worry, will we descend deeper? Will we spiral down into depression? Or will we cry out to God, calling on him for help, telling him what we need, thanking him for what he's done, broadening our horizons, realising that although we're stressed at this time, that life has not always been that way and life will not always be that way. Thank him for what he's done, shift our perspective. And as we do that, then we can experience God's peace as a gift. And the Bible says it exceeds anything we can understand. It doesn't make sense. This is why Jesus can sleep in a storm. It makes no sense, but he can, because he has the peace of God. The disciples are overwhelmed, but Jesus has peace. And they cry out to him, don't you care that we're going to drown? And I love the way that Jesus doesn't turn around and say, don't talk to me like that, or don't you know that I care for you? And don't you remember the time when I fed you all with some loaves and fishes? He doesn't respond angrily. He doesn't snap at them at their rudeness. He hears their compassion, and it's such a wonderful reminder of God's love for us, like a parent comforting their child. It's something we see with animals as well, as we see an animal parent protectively caring for their calf. And God has that sense of compassion and love, and Jesus is God with us. And in that moment, he hears their prayer that, let's face it, is the world's absolute worst prayer. And he responds kindly. And he acts in power. So, if you're struggling right now, when the chips are down, when it's all gone wrong, who are you going to call? If you've just said Ghostbusters, you really, really are in trouble. Are we drawn to God like bees that are drawn to honey? Are we drawn to God's light? Will we turn to him? And will we rely on him? This is one of my favourite pictures of all time. It's by Howard Leon. Howard, I apologise if I pronounced your name wrongly. Do take a look at his website. The piece of artwork is called From Fear to Faith. And I just was captivated by this beautiful piece of artwork the first time I saw it. Take a moment to look in this boat. Who do you relate to in this picture? As I've shared this around churches and we get people to say what they're thinking, most people say the person at the back bailing out water, or perhaps the person with the sails. The thing I love about this picture is that for every one of the disciples, the storm has passed. Every one of them is living in the same reality, but they're all reacting differently. Do you notice how the way that some of them are closer to Jesus are less panicky? They're calm, they're looking at him, they know it's okay. The ones that are further away are doing their own thing. It's a wonderful reminder. Where's our focus? Where's Jesus? Is he in the corner? Are we looking to him? Are we trusting in him? Are we willing to hear the words of Jesus to the stress in our minds? Peace, be still. A few years ago, I was doing an assembly in our local secondary school. When I do assemblies, I like to relate something from contemporary culture that the teenagers can relate to, perhaps from a film or a piece of music, and I talk about my faith out of that. As I began to prepare for the assembly, I was really stumped. I didn't know what to do. And so I did the only thing I could think of in that moment of desperation, and I called my church to pray. And I said to them, can you pray, because I don't know what to talk about. And as the church responded and prayed, I sat at my desk a few hours later, and everything became clear in my mind. And what I shared was a version of what you're hearing just now, a simplified version. And I used the picture that I've just shown you. I had to go to the school on three separate days because the pupils couldn't all get in the hall at the same time. Tuesday I went in, the assembly went really well. Wednesday I went in, the assembly went really well. Wednesday afternoon I got a phone call from the school. The school were ringing to inform me that Ofsted were coming the next day. So I am an Ofsted inspected Baptist minister, so you can be assured of some quality in this video. Well, maybe, anyway. I went into the school on the Thursday morning. I stood in front of a hall full of children, with teachers around the edge. The teachers were noticeably on edge. They were stressed. And I stood there and I worked through this assembly. And I was thinking, all the way through, I was saying, God, how amazing is this? That I'm stood in front of this group of people living in the biggest storm in their recent times of their life, perhaps, and saying to them, in the storms of life, Jesus can give you peace. The amazing thing about that story is it started with me saying, Jesus, could you come out of the corner and help me? How different might life be if we kept Jesus next to us rather than in the corner? The disciples turn to Jesus and say, who is this man? Who is he? We don't comprehend. He just blows our minds every time. I love the imagery of the lion and the lamb. And in this story, we see Jesus, the lion, acting in power. He doesn't roar, but he's in charge of that storm. And the storm is still. The storm is not messing with Jesus. But Jesus is also a lamb, isn't he? He's also gentle, the all-powerful God, but the God of compassion. Who is this Jesus? How are we viewing him today? Do you see him more as a lion or a lamb? Or can we learn to see him as both at the same time? The one thing that Jesus definitely isn't is that he's not a vending machine. And yet that's how many of us come to God. We come to him to push his buttons to get what we want. And we shouldn't come to Jesus that way. As I think of Jesus and following him, I'm reminded of something that happened to me several years ago. The local school asked me if I'd go and help on a residential. And as I went and I joined in, there came a day where the youngsters did something called a blind trail. And you can look at this picture if you're not sure what that means. And basically they blindfolded all the children. They put their hands on a piece of rope and they said to them, just hold the rope and follow the rope and you will safely come to the end of the journey. And as you walk, you will not be able to see, but the rope will guide you through. And as you walk, just listen and be aware of your surroundings. As they engaged in this activity, I was positioned next to a big tree, which is on the edge of a ditch. And basically I was there because if one of the children let go of the rope, because they couldn't hold it around the tree, they had to pat their way around the tree. If they let go and went the wrong way, they'd just be a bit panicky. Or alternatively, the other worry was if they let go of the rope on the edge of this ditch, it could go wrong very quickly. So I was stood there watching these children one after the other going round, about 20 of them. Most of those children had no idea that I was there. And it was really interesting as I stood there watching, thinking, they have no idea that I'm there, but I'm ready to catch them, I'm ready to help them. One of them let go, didn't know what to do. I stood there and think, what do I do? Do I say, here I am, frighten the life out of them? I thought, I'll just watch for a minute, ready to catch, obviously. And eventually they went around like this and managed to find the rope again. They made their way off. But there was another child who did let go. And they began to cry. They were really quite upset. And again, I was quite anxious. What do I do? So as gently as I could, I said, don't worry, I'm here. I'm just going to take you by the arm and just put you back on the rope. You're doing a really good job. You can do it. That's amazing. And I took them and I led them back to the rope, put them on the rope, and off they went. When we were back together as a group and everyone was saying, how did you feel? How did you find it? They said nothing. I also said nothing, although they gave me a little smile. That experience was not for everyone else. That was me helping them. That was our moment of care, the moment where they felt looked after. For every one of those children, I was present. I was there with them. But for one of them, they experienced help that they needed. They were desperate for help. And isn't that a wonderful picture of what God is like? God is with us always. Often we don't know he's there. But when he is, we can cry on him. So what are we going to do? Who are we going to call? Are we going to bring Jesus out of the corner and let him lead us through life? Whether there are storms, whether it's sunny, will we trust in him? Will we cling to him? And will we follow him? So Jesus, we pray, whatever we're going through, however we're feeling, may we look to you, may we cling to you, may we trust in you more each day. Thank you, Jesus, that you can be with us all the time. We're sorry if we put you in the corner. Help us not to do that anymore. Amen. Thanks for listening. Hope you're blessed and encouraged by that.
Graham, thank you so much for your word for us today. You have blessed us this morning, and we pray for you that you keep safe and well in these times and are able to continue encouraging and supporting the churches that you serve in these peculiar days. Next week will be another strange first, Remembrance Sunday online, when Ian will guide our thoughts on this important day. As we close our service this morning, we read again the Philippians passage that Graham read, this time from the Living Bible translation. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Remember, in the storms of life, Jesus can give you peace. Invite Jesus out of the corner and invite him to walk next to you. And so we can smile in confidence and sing with boldness, "It is well with my soul," having been reminded how different our lives will be if we keep Jesus next to us rather than in the corner.